Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Iraq's going to need more help. It's going to need more help from us, and it's going to need more help from the international community. So my team is working around the clock to identify how we can provide the most effective assistance to them. I don't rule out anything because we do have a stake in making sure that these jihadists are not getting a permanent foothold in either Iraq or Syria, for that matter.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The world is in flames, and Nero fiddles, or shall I say, he puts. It's astounding to me. The world is in flames. Everything's gone up in smoke. And this man has broken our border with Mexico, flooding America with children from Honduras, Guatemala. The moron psycho, Vice President Biden, has the nerve to say we need more and more and more of them, a steady stream of illegal aliens into this country, to the National Association of Manufacturers. Shall I conclude that Biden is ready to change the labor laws and employ three-year-olds in our factories? You know, I heard the argument that immigrants come here to work. They all come here to work. We know that's a big lie, since one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. But let's put that aside for a minute. We all know how hard many immigrants do work. You'd have to be blind not to see that. What is the rationale for bringing in three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five-year-olds? They're not going to work. Why are they flooding the country with single mothers and children, many of whom are diseased and infected, who are going to disseminate these diseases into our school systems? Why would they do that? I don't have an answer for that. After all, when you have a man as brilliant as Barack Obama in the White House, he would have the answer. But since no one's allowed to ask him the question, I guess you'll have to turn to Bill Maher for the answer, since he's just nothing but a spokesmouth for this administration. Bill Maher, the other genius. They read the lines, they get the laughs from the drug addicts. Meanwhile, the world burns. Iraq is now going up in smoke. The jihadists, I want you to ask yourself a question. What if you were the parent of a young man who believed in America under George Bush, believed there were weapons of mass destruction? He enlisted in the military. He went over there, and either he died or lost legs or arms or had his face blown up. And now he sees that Iraq is again being retaken by the very same Sunni killers that were driven out in the very cities that you remember the fights that were going on. Remember the fights in Mosul? Virtually that entire area of Iraq that was captured block by block, street by street, by our men, has now been taken over by the jihadists. And so the great leader of Iraq, who I have no faith in whatsoever, Mr. Malarkey, who didn't give us a single barrel of oil for all of this loss of blood and the trillions of dollars that was lost in Iraq, he didn't give us a barrel of oil. I don't blame him. It's because our oil companies didn't want the market to drop. So instead, he sold his oil to China. So we got nothing out of this loss of American life and limb. And now, of course, Obama, who came to power, by the way, during his reelection campaign, saying that disengagement from Iraq will be his centerpiece. He attacked whatever his name was. I forget, Romney. He attacked Romney for saying that a two-speedy withdrawal would destabilize the nation, right? Remember, Romney said that a two-speedy withdrawal would destabilize Iraq. Well, Obama attacked Romney for that. So now our great leader, who is flooding America with as many hundreds of thousands of child laborers as he could possibly get into the country as fast as he can, going around the Constitution, which, by the way, is an impeachable offense. One of the things a president has to do, from no matter which party, is protect our borders. This man is busting our borders and telling the Border Patrol to become babysitters. And I'm telling you, that's an impeachable offense unto itself, but the only reason you're not hearing a word out of it is because the so-called Republicrats, who just got a shellacking the other day with the Cantor story, want the illegals here. Now, I could see that. Let's say that there's a rationale between, in wanting the illegals here. Let's say the rationale is to have them work in factories for slave wages so that the pigs who own the businesses can make more money and go golfing, let's say, with the Republicrats. Okay. In other words, I wouldn't agree with that, but I can understand the rationale. But don't the pigs who want the illegals here understand that there's a difference between a man breaking his back in a field or in a slaughterhouse is different from a three-year-old with her single mother from Honduras? Do they not understand what's going on in this country? I don't think they do. So now we have that problem. The border is broken. We have Iraq going up in flames. They're about to take Baghdad. And Mr. Malarkey, who didn't give us as much as a barrel of oil for liberating him and his Shia friends from the Sunnis, now suddenly wants airstrikes again. And what are the liberals going to do when Obama orders airstrikes in Iraq? Tell me where all of these left-wing drug addicts in the media who claim to be such geniuses are going to be standing at that time. That's one question, by the way. But it's not the main thing that's on my mind. What's on my mind is how a nation dies and how a nation dies in front of your own eyes. You can watch an animal die when it's, run over. You could see it dying in the street. You can watch a relative, an older relative, die from a disease that is incurable. It's a heartbreaking thing to watch. You can watch yourself deteriorate and die. It's no different when you're watching a nation die. And when you watch a guy like Obama literally putting the knife into the heart of the country on a daily basis, you have to ask yourself, are you the only one who's crazy? I mean, are you the only crazy one who sees an administration that is working around the clock to stab the country repeatedly, over and over and over again, as fast as it can? So, you know, you can ask the question and not get an answer, because there is no answer, because if there's no opposition party, there's no press, then there's no point in screaming about it. So let me tell you a personal story, and I'll show you where I'm coming from. And I'm going to show you, and I'm going to prove to you definitively today on the Savage Nation, that not only is Obama a traitor and a liar, but he's a traitor and a liar to his own people. Yes, you heard me. Because the people who are going to be harmed the most from this flood, this tsunami of illegal immigrants, are not the white people in this country, but the black people in this country. There's tremendous poverty amongst black people in the United States of America. Now, where is the money going to come from to educate these non-English-speaking children, so-called, from Honduras and Guatemala? Where's the money going to come from for their health care when they can't even take care of the veterans? Yesterday, I was on the way back from my location in Florida, where I broadcast for a day or so, and I came back to San Francisco, and we had to make a stop in Memphis. I had not planned on going to Memphis, Tennessee. I've never been to Memphis, Tennessee. But for reasons I'd rather not discuss, we had to make a landing in Memphis. And I had about 4 or 5 hours to spend in a city I had never been to. I thought fate had put me down in Memphis because there's no other reason for this. And as the plane was descending over Memphis, I saw some of the most beautiful country in the entire world that I've seen in a lot of the world. I thought it was some of the most verdant, beautiful land I'd ever witnessed in my life. And I said, wow, Tennessee is really beautiful. I know I'm on the radio in Tennessee and in that town, in a Cumulus station, right in the city of Memphis. And as I am in so many other cities. And when we landed, I knew we had 4 or 5 hours till we were going to take off again. And so we rented a car, and a guy said, I said, can you take us around? He said, well, where do you want to go? I said, well, okay, I know that there's Elvis's thing here, Graceland. I mean, I was never a big fan of Elvis. I think he was a talented singer, whatever, but it's not my cup of tea to go there and see the hot dog people, you know. But nevertheless, I went to there. Then I said to him, listen to this. I mean, I didn't know much about Memphis. I said, look, I've been in the South a few times in my life, and I love the music. It's the middle of the afternoon, though. I didn't expect to hear blues music. He said, well, I got to take you to the riverfront, then I got to take you to Beale Street. I said, oh, Beale Street, isn't that like New Orleans? He says, yes, like New Orleans. So we hung out there, and I had some ribs. I took me to the best rib shop in town. He was from the area, black guy, nice guy. And I said, well, where's the best ribs for me? And anyway, so we had the ribs. I had the beer. I knocked down 2 buds. I destroyed my lipids for the year. Never felt so good in my life. it made up for the descent over Memphis. And I said, well, now look, before we leave Memphis, is there anything else I should see? He said, well, do you want to see the motel where Martin Luther King Jr. was shot? And like a bell went off in my head. I mean, I got chills up and down my spine because I had forgotten that Martin Luther King Jr. had been executed in this city of Memphis, Tennessee. And so he drove us there. And I got to tell you, a certain something came over us, as we stood in front of that motel. A certain something came over us, because I got to tell you that America changed the day Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, you can go to michaelsavage.com. I'm not trying to pump a website. And there's a picture of yours truly standing right in front of that motel where MLK Jr. was shot. They left the two cars there, the Cadillac and the Dodge, right underneath that balcony where he was executed. And it was quite chilling. I mean, they built a civil rights museum and all. And I started to reflect on what's happened to America since Martin Luther King Jr. was executed, and how, although he was a man who was not greedy in any way, and I would have to think he really cared about his people, I think about the horrible people who've cashed in on the civil rights movement since him. I think of people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, but most importantly, I think about the sad state of America today, where we have a man, Barack Obama, who is as cynical as they come, who would not be president had it not been for the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And I'll explain why I say that in great detail. And I went back to one of my slogans from 10 years ago, how sadly in America we have gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. Yes, how we have gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. Because Martin Luther King Jr., despite his flaws, and boy, are we all flawed. No man is perfect. Boy, are we flawed. I've heard everything about him. But nevertheless, I also heard this man speak live. 1967, 68, UN Plaza. I was a young high school teacher in New York City. I happened to be outside for lunch with a sandwich. And I heard him speak. I mean, there's a huge crowd. I've never been moved like that ever since. That speech was the greatest. I never heard a voice like that. Let me put it to you that way. That man had the ability to move mountains. He was definitely chosen for great things on this planet. And I thought about that. I thought about what I witnessed that day that Martin Luther King Jr. spoke in this country, how it moved me as a young kid, a young teacher with his first job in New York City. I thought about the hatred that I saw in the streets that day, the raging hatred, pure, unadulterated racist hatred like I've never seen in my, that I had never seen anything like in my life, simply because he was speaking. I thought about it. I just looked back upon it. And then I thought about another man with a great voice who came along, a false prophet by the name of Barack Obama, who has, instead of helping to lift up his people, has pushed his own people back down further than they've ever been in this country. You see, you don't understand what I'm trying to say to you. You think that Obama and Holder are out to help the African American. At least that's what they seem to say, but they're not. Not in my estimation. I think that, I'm sorry to tell you that Obama and Holder are willing to shaft the huge population of American Africans by flooding America with armies of Central Americans and Mexicans, by displacing the poor African American population in this country with an army, a tsunami of Central American and Mexicans. Who do you think will be most hurt economically by this human tsunami that Obama is using in this country right now? And now, look, I realize that you want me to stick to only the news stories, but you also know that if you're listening to my show, you're going to get a broader view of the news from a personal point of view. And I'm telling you, it was fate that put our plane down in Memphis. For reasons I think I understand, as I explained to you just now, but also for reasons I don't understand. It couldn't have been just to enjoy the ribs. And so if you care to comment on any of this, I suggest call me. But I'm going to tell you about something that happened outside the Lorraine Motel, by the way. Outside the Lorraine Motel with a woman who's been sitting there every day, each and every day since he was executed, under an umbrella, black lady, with brochures. And you'll see what I'm saying to you. And you'll understand that it's not only I, Michael Savage, who understands that we've gone from I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme under Obama. But there are hundreds of thousands of others in this country who could see right through the king who has no clothes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop.
We're going to play more of it because I'm telling you that that was a seminal moment in American history. And unfortunately for us, false prophets have taken Martin Luther King Jr.'s mantle and used it for personal advantage, in my estimation. And what's strikingly obvious to me is that the flood, the human flood that's being brought in, into this country by Obama and Holder will affect the poor African Americans in this country far, far, far more so than white people. I don't understand why there's no outcry. So outside the museum yesterday, outside the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, as I stood frankly in awe next to the Lorraine Motel, I didn't even know it existed, to be frank. It's like when our car pulled up to it, I said, holy God, that's it? Because I've seen it in movies, I thought it was six stories high, I didn't know it was two. And there was the exact balcony where he was executed. And there's something chilling to stand there, you know, with the Cadillac and the Dodge from that moment still sitting there. So the driver, nice guy, said to us, that woman's been there since he was killed. So I said, I got to talk to her. So as I'm leaving, I go up to a thin black lady sitting on an umbrella. And she's got these flyers. I said, well, what's the problem here? She says, you just went to a fraud. She said, that whole Civil Rights Museum is nothing but a racket. She said they want to spend $27 million to renovate the Civil Rights Museum, while one in five residents are stuck below the poverty line in metropolitan Memphis. She said that money should be going to the poor, not a slush fund for the Civil Rights Museum. So I said, holy God, I can't be the only one in this country who sees that we've gone from I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You listen to that speech, it was his last speech, and you have to believe that the man had seen what was coming. He was executed or assassinated. And you have to believe that there are people on the earth as flawed as he was, as flawed as I am, as flawed as you are, because we are not God. None of us are God. Maybe Obama thinks he's God, but I don't. Most normal people understand that they're human beings with limitations. And he had many flaws. We heard all of the slanders about him and all the truths, the plagiarism, the womanizing, the this and that. Doesn't mean he couldn't have been inspired. Doesn't mean he couldn't have had a prophetic a streak within him. And what he was saying was quite different than what you're hearing today from Holder and Obama, isn't it? You're not hearing the same things you heard from Martin Luther King Jr. about people of all races getting along and living together. You're hearing about the supremacy of a certain race over others. You're hearing about the fact that you have poverty in this country that's overwhelming in certain communities, and yet he's bringing in millions of impoverished people from Central and South of Central America, Mexico. They're not all working here. You don't have 2 or 3 year olds working, do you? How could you stupid liberals, and I call you stupid liberals, how could you idiots take the bait like guppies in a tank? To believe that he wants to bring in illegal aliens because they'll do the jobs no American will do, when you see with your own eyes that many or most of this flood, this tsunami that he's bringing in now, illegally, by the way, are not workers. They're children, little girls and little boys, 3 years old to 8 years old. Mixed in with them are hardcore gang members. which is a second story that I don't want to get into. Who is going to take care of these children, many of whom are infected with diseases that were once eradicated in this country? Who will pay for their medical care, their housing? Who will educate them with all of the expensive English as a second language? Who's going to pay for it? Well, your answer is quite clear. You will. You, the liberal moron, and I, the conservative genius, will pay for it. But I will tell you who's going to be hurt the most. The poor. And so that woman in Memphis that I told you about, who sat outside the Lorraine Motel all these years with her flyer, had a flyer that said $27 million to renovate the Civil Rights Museum. Meanwhile, with nearly one in five residents stuck below the poverty line, metropolitan Memphis ranks as by far the most impoverished large metro area in the nation, close quote. And she said that money shouldn't be going to renovate a museum. She said it should be going to the poor to help them. Now, if you have a finite amount of resources, how can you bring in millions of poor people and not hurt the millions of poor that already exist here? How? So you have to answer your own question and come to the conclusion that he's not bringing them in to help anyone here, that Obama's bringing them in for other reasons. They're not workers. He's not bringing in workers. That doofus, Biden, gives a speech before the National Association of Manufacturers and says that we need more and more and more an influx of illegal alien, refugee, whatever he calls them, immigrants. More and more and more, he says we need. More and more and more is what he says we need. What, he's getting child labor? I got to tell you something. Look, I didn't plan on landing in Memphis, and I did. We had to land. I didn't plan on going to the Elvis Museum. That, by the way, that's the other side of the coin. That's the other side of the coin. The poor white that goes to the Elvis Museum, the sheeple, the white who doesn't know where he is in the world, walking around buying a hot dog, a trinket. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know. I thought I was on a drug. I thought someone slipped me something in the van. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I never saw anything like it in my life. It was just something astonishing. You like the Elvis thing, but look in the same city. Look in the same city. You have an icon of a certain segment of the white population, Elvis Presley, and you have an icon of the civil rights movement, and you can't just say of the black population because there are many others who were affected by Martin Luther King Jr. I think you'd be a fool not to say we were all not affected by Martin Luther King Jr. You'd be an ignoramus not to understand that. In the same city, I said, there's something here for me. I haven't yet digested it because it was only yesterday. It was only yesterday in my life. It takes me sometimes days, months, weeks to absorb why fate or God puts me in certain situations or places. You know, as William Blake wrote, you must live your life forward, but you can only understand it backward, which is exactly what I'm trying to say to you. I mean, you have to live it forward. You have to try to sort out what's going on. But truthfully, you don't really understand what's going on until you get further away from it. You have to live your life forward, but you can only understand it backward. Well, I'm not far enough from yesterday to understand what it means today. But all I can tell you is I was extremely moved emotionally I was moved by that Lorraine Motel. I can't even explain why. I mean, maybe it was a part of my life that died when he was shot. I don't know. Certainly true. Certainly America's never recovered from his execution. It's never recovered from the execution of John F. Kennedy Jr., never recovered from the execution of RFK Jr., and it's never going to recover from the gangsters that have taken over this country. Never. It can never recover from this gang. It can't recover. And why do I say that? Because throughout time, there's always been evil men, power-mad people who have been constrained by the U.S. Constitution in the case of this nation, and by a vigorous opposition party, and by a vigorous press, the Fourth Estate. But as I told you before, the Fourth Estate long ago became the fifth column for communism in this country. Write it down because it's probably the best thing I've ever said. The Fourth Estate became the fifth column for communism / socialism in this country a long time ago, which is why all we have are clowns, stone clowns on television, passing for journalists now. So all I can do is sit here from the outside and not throw stones at the world, but try to make sense of the world for the millions of you who can't. It's the truth. It's the truth. You say, well, Mike, why can't you do anything about it? Why can't you help us pull us out of this part? Because I'm not Moses. I can't part the Red Sea. We're all going to drown from this Red Sea that is engulfing us in this nation because it's being done on purpose. And I don't have the way to part the Red Sea. That's got to be done by God. When I see John Boehner get up there this morning, as I did on television, to give a speech about Iraq and this and that, I didn't know what I was looking at. I thought he was resigning. I didn't have the sound on. I had a bad night's sleep because of the trip, and I'm off base with the jet lag. I turn the TV on to get ready for the show, and there I see him speaking. For a minute, I didn't know who it was. I said, wait a minute, who is that, Boehner? I didn't know what he was saying. I thought it was a resignation speech. But no, he was standing up there allegedly to give some kind of speech about Obama's failures and this and that and that. And I didn't, not one word made sense to me. And all I could think of was how Obama and Holder are laughing at him. They say, this guy's a clown, huh? I mean, if I was sitting, I'd be throwing like golf balls into a fishbowl while watching him. Just to hear the sound of the golf ball roll around inside the fishbowl. Because that's exactly what Boehner sounded like to me. He sounded like golf balls rolling around inside an empty fishbowl. He said nothing. Now, you know what happened the other day with Cantor. I was on the air Tuesday in Florida. It hit right after I was off the air. It was a tsunami. But do you think that's going to change Boehner and the establishment girls in the Republican Party? Do you think that that sorority of girls is going to change? Do you think that even entered their mind? That the sorority called the Republican Party is going to alter their partying? I don't. I see no sign that the sorority leader, Mr. Boehner, is going to change anything. No, they don't even accept what happened. What's hysterical about it was all about immigration. And yet, the psychopaths in the media immediately made it everything but immigration. Every excuse under the sun except the fact that America does not want to be overrun by immigrants was used. They even came to the laughable conclusion that Cantor was thrown out because of anti-Semitism. Didn't take them too long to arrive at that. That was Wolf Blitzer's greatest moment. I put that in a museum of media insanity. If I did my own Elvis museum, it would be a museum of media insanity. And in the front, there'd be a huge clown figure of Wolf Blitzer. And the screaming entrance line would be, Cantor was fired because of anti-Semitism. Cantor was fired because of Jew-hating. Cantor was fired because of white supremacy. Step right up, $72, coming into the media museum. Cantor was fired because of anti-Semitism. Step right up. I mean, I couldn't believe they got to that so quickly. You mean after all these terms, Wolfie, Cantor was elected over and over again in Virginia, even though he was Jewish, suddenly they found that he was Jewish and fired him? I mean, it like belies your imagination that they could reach so far to justify what happened without accepting that what happened was the will of the people happened. They're so shocked that the will of the people spoke that they couldn't even accept it was the will of the people that spoke. So these are all the thoughts. And I got to tell you, look, it's not the first time I've been in the South. I was in the South many years ago in the 1960s when I was working for a book publishing company in New York City. This is an interesting story unto itself. You know, I'm known for telling my stories as part of my political viewpoints, which is okay. And people don't understand that I have many stories, and they're not made up. They're real. They're from Life 101. And I guess I've been around quite a long time because the stories go back quite a long time now. And I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, it is what it is. God's given me all these extra years, and I'm looking back now, and some of these moments in my life were quite experiential for my entire development. So in the 1960s, and I'm talking 65, 6 maybe, 7, I don't remember when. No, I don't know when it was. I don't remember the years. I was working for a publishing company in Manhattan, and they were selling textbooks. I was the science consultant. And my job was to go out with the sales team and explain the science behind the textbook so they could get a big textbook sale. I wasn't the exact salesman, but I guess I was part of the silk glove selling, which is fine. I love selling. Selling is very important. At the end of the day, we're all salesmen. In fact, the most diehard, pot-smoking, curly-haired, whatever, you know, take the stereotype leftist as a salesman. He's selling his liberalism. He's selling his wildness. He's selling his freedom. He's selling his cool. He's showing you how cool he is. He's selling it every minute. He's selling it like that girl in the lowest corner in the town is selling her body. He's selling his coolness. So at the end of the day, we're all selling something. So I was doing this science selling part of the books, and then the salesman would go in and close the deal, but At that time, I remember driving through East St. Louis. I think at the time, I asked a cab driver, I said, I love jazz. Take me to the best jazz clubs in the St. Louis area. He took me to East St. Louis. And I've never forgotten, with profundity, the music I heard that night. But more than that, I never forgot the poverty I saw driving through some of those streets. I never saw anything like it in my life. Never. Never. Then I was in Troy, Alabama not many years ago, maybe 15, I don't before radio now, we're talking 20 years now. Time sure is marching on, my friend. And I was in Troy, Alabama on something or other, and I went after one little house after another, after another, after another. Little shacks, tar shacks. One after the other, I said, holy God, I had no idea people were this poor. How could they live like this? So then you realize that there are millions and millions and millions of poor people in the country, many of whom are African-American. And then you have Holder and Obama, who claim to be the heroes of their own people, flooding America with the poorest of the poor, most of whom cannot even work because they're children. Why is he doing this? What is the animus of this? It has nothing to do with humanitarianism. And it's insane from the point of view of economics. Because there's only a finite amount of resources. Now, how are we going to pay for all the poor in this country now? You know, I'd really like to hear what you think of what I just said to you. It's kind of an interesting digression in some ways from the normal, you know, whatever we all do in this business. Are there any African Americans listening to this show who agree with me that we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme under Obama and Holder? Will you please give us a call on the Savage Nation? Thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So Martin Luther King Jr. said, spend the necessary money to get rid of the slums to eradicate the poverty. And we've tried it. It's worked in some places, not in others. And now with 1 in 5 residents in many communities stuck below the poverty line, still true, maybe it's higher, he's now Obama now, not MLK Jr., is flooding America with millions of illegal aliens, and we see now they're not all bringing them in for work because some of them are children. Why is he doing this? And who's gonna be hurt the most? The African-American community is clearly going to be stuck the most with this bill. I don't understand how black people don't see this. I don't understand it. I've given up on white liberals. I feel that they're mentally deranged. I feel that white liberals are suffering a severe mental disorder for which there is no cure. I give up on them. I gave up on them a long time ago. But I'm appealing to African Americans to tell me where I am wrong in my thinking. When I tell you we've gone from I have a dream under MLK Jr. to I have a scheme under Barack Obama and Eric Holder. How could you not see this? I ask myself, I'm almost in agony over it. And I'm going to take callers on this. And I'm going to talk about Iraq. And I'm going to talk about Eric Cantor's disastrous defeat, wonderful disastrous defeat, because of his stance on amnesty for illegal aliens. And I'm going to tell you that we have very little time left. Please be with me when I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
We're not going to be able to be everywhere all the time. But what we can do is to make sure that we are consistently helping to finance, train, advise, mm-hmm. military forces with partner countries, including Iraq, that have the capacity to maintain their own security. And that is a long and laborious process, but it's one that we need to get started. That's part of what the counterterrorism partnership fund that I am going to be calling for Congress to help finance is all about.
It is the Savage Nation. So there I was in Memphis yesterday by chance, par chance. And here I am in San Francisco by design, and there you are, the savage audience, my entire raison d'etre, my whole reason for living. Not my entire, but a pretty big part of it is this show. You know, I eat it, sleep it, and drink it, as they say. And things that happen seem to affect how I perform on the air that day or the next day, whether it be a bad sandwich or a bad landing. There's definitely some reason I was put down in Memphis yesterday, or the plane went down in Memphis, landed in Memphis yesterday. And I had those 4 hours, as I said to you, to take a tour. Never, ever in the world did I ever expect to be in Memphis, Tennessee, nor did I know the countryside was so gorgeous. I had no idea. So anyway, I told you, I went to the Elvis Graceland thing, and it was exactly what I thought. Couldn't believe anybody would pay that kind of money, but I could not believe it. That there are people walking around tour buses, and there he, there's Elvis's underwear, Elvis's shoe, Elvis's nail clipping. There's Elvis, there's his airplanes on a ramp that you could go in, and there's his Cadillac. There's the trinket shop, and they come in by busloads, and they go to the diner, and they eat the Elvis burger, and the Elvis hot dog, and the Elvis mustard, and the Elvis mayonnaise, and the Elvis salt, and the Elvis pepper, and the Elvis roll. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And I looked at the faces of the well, white folk who were touring the Elvis mausoleum, and I said, I don't know. Are these all Obama voters? I mean, are they all diehard Democrats? I said, I don't know. They're sheeple for sure. Guaranteed sheeple. They don't know where they are. Now, look, I'm champion for America's borders, language, and culture. That's been my motto from the get-go here on the Savage Nation, borders, language, and culture. So now you wake up and you realize that you have an administration that is opening the border up like there's no metaphor for what he's done to us, to our borders, language, and culture. The only question is, how far will it go? Now, you've heard the argument that they're flooding America with the illegals because they all come here to work, and Americans will not do those jobs. And there's a degree of truth in the hard work we see immigrants doing. You got to be a fool not to see it. Everyone knows how hard these folks can work, emphasis on can. But now you see that they've busted the border open, and they're bringing in children, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, with their mamas. Many of the kids are infected with diseases that were once eradicated in America that are going to resurge. And trust me, I've been trying to warn you about immigrants and epidemics ever since I started in radio. But, you know, until it bites you in the foot, and I know liberals so well to tell you that, God forbid, if one of these immigrant children were brought into the schoolroom and infected an entire classroom, and you said to the mother, don't you understand that this happened because of your liberalism, that you wanted them here? She'd say, well, you know, it's worth my daughter getting disease X or Y, that my not my agenda, but that I can feel good about myself, that I was good to immigrants. So there's no talking to the white liberal. I write them off for whatever the reason. It's two worlds. I can't even live in that world anymore. I can't even think about it. I can't bend my mind around it. So I can talk only to my audience and pray to God there are others out there who hear me before it's too late. Now, there was a tsunami in the Cantor District the night I was on the air Tuesday. I have to believe that my being on WMAL in Washington, D.C. since January had something to do with it. You say, what, is he crazy? Who does he think he is? Yeah, it had something to do with it. Remember, I had not been heard in Washington, D.C., except on a marginally small station, ever. No one heard of me. Well, there I was blasting right into the CIA district of Virginia for 6 months, 6 months now, 5 months. People heard the show, said, listen to me. Maybe it has some effect on the Cantor debacle. To me, it was an amazing story that an unknown professor with no budget could defeat that pompous idiot, Eric Cantor. But it was all about immigration. That's all it was about. Nothing but immigration. That's all it was. Don't forget that they have a lot at stake to tell you it wasn't, but it was all about immigration. So I then come back to the main theme of the show today, which is the abject poverty I see in the South, And that poor woman outside the Martin Luther King Jr., you know, memorial, the Lorraine Motel, which was very moving, incidentally. And then the Civil Rights Museum that's brand new, by the way. Brand new. Brand new brick and mortar. It looked like something I'd seen in Jerusalem 20 years ago. Beautiful first-class museum. And so the woman sits there outside protesting, a black lady. And she says $27 million to renovate the Civil Rights Museum. Meanwhile, there's one in five residents stuck below the poverty line in metropolitan Memphis. So why is the money going to renovate the museum? She says it's a scam. She says it's a sham. A sham. The money is being ripped off. All right, so I gave her a $20 bill, and we had a conversation, and that was the end of that. But then I ask you, the American people, to say, listen to me. Call me. How could you buy hook, line, and sinker that Obama represents the African-American population in this country? How could you buy that when if you flood America with millions of impoverished, non-English-speaking people, and you need money to he just asked for $2 billion, by the way. Overnight, $2 billion to give them food and to give them clothing and shelter. That money could have gone to our poor in this country. Where'd the money? Why didn't he ask for $2 billion? For the poor in America before the illegals were brought into the country over the last few weeks. Why? Because he doesn't represent the poor in this country. Who does he represent? Question two, who do you blame for the resurgence of war in Iraq? You can blame George Bush all you want. You can blame anybody you want. Then I looked up the history of Memphis. I knew that Memphis was the name of an ancient city in Egypt. I still to this day do not know why Memphis, Tennessee was named Memphis, nor by whom. I have no idea. I mean, who was the literate person who named Memphis, Memphis. I know that in the 1500s there were Indians living in that area, and they encountered the despicable Hernando de Soto. That's the irony of it all. It's very interesting. It was a Hispanic invasion that wiped out the Indians, by the way, originally. You don't know that. De Soto was a monster. My father had a De Soto, and it's a nice car. It was a monstrous car, but a nice car. A big, powerful car with a roof rack, but Hernando de Soto decimated the Indian population. Isn't it ironic that it was an Hispanic invasion that decimated the Indians? I mean, you don't know about that. And the Chickasaw Nation signed a treaty ceding West Tennessee to the U.S. in 1818. By then already, it was hundreds of years later. And you look at the history, and you see even every city has such a wonderful history to it when you look at it. And you see what happened to Memphis during the Civil War. And you see that in 1862, a Union naval fleet defeated Confederate naval forces in the Battle of Memphis, Tennessee. And what happened next was federal troops occupied the city. And chills go up my spine. Federal troops occupied the city. Then what happens? Well, you have to study the history yourself. And then you'll find out who did what and how things were built. And you find out in 1893, a black millionaire by the name of Robert Reed Church Sr. buy the first city bond. Black millionaire, right? In 1893, there were rich folks of other races. They were all evil white males. And then you read on and you find out that in that city, if you look into it, that there were folks of all races who built it. And then you look at the country today. And you see in 1986, they lit up the Hernando de Soto Bridge, the Conqueror, the Conquistador. Now, I suppose they could light up the Obama Bridge very soon to Mexico. It would be a bridge to nowhere for most of us, but it's not a laughable situation. Why is he doing this? Is there a person of African-American heritage who agrees with me that we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme? Has anyone visited the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial site, as I did yesterday, by chance. These are important questions to me, by the way. So let's begin in Jackson, Mississippi. Andrew, thanks for holding so long on the air. Andrew, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thanks, David. I just wanted to tell you that I totally 100% agree with you with what you're saying about like Obama and Holder about all these immigrants, because what it does for us blacks is, since we're supposed to be the minority, then they're coming in. It's like they're sweeping us up under the rug for them. Like
that's what I'm saying. They're displacing the black population of poor with an Hispanic population of poor. So who's going to pay for this?
Exactly. thing. Is, can you imagine the welfare lines? Like we already, like I ain't going to say all blacks crowding it, because it's all racist. But I'm just saying, could you imagine a welfare line? And like you say, who's going to pay for it?
I don't know who's going to pay for it. I don't know how we're going to pay for it. But I know we just did pay for it, because Obama wrote a check for $2 billion last night for the food, and they're already complaining about the burritos. The first day already, they were saying the burritos were cold. Can you believe this?
Wow.
I swear to God, in the shelters, the children said the burritos were cold.
What?
Now, could you imagine what they're going to say a year from now? The schools don't teach them in Spanish? Now, who's going to pay for this the most? I'll tell you right now, the rich white's not going to be touched by it. The middle class white, the upper middle class white's not going to be touched by it. It's the poor who are going to pay for this behavior by Obama and Holder. And I want to know who they're beholden to. I don't know why they're doing this, other than to satisfy la raza. And la raza means the race. And it means one race only, the brown race. La raza. And they have a mandate. La raza has had a mandate for many years, which was to reoccupy, reconquest, reconquistador, reconquest. They're like De Soto. Reconquista. Reconquest the Southwest, at the very least. So what is going on in your country? Has anyone actually been to that Memphis hotel? Gray, WMAL in Washington, D.C., the land where Cantor will now be opening a deli. Gray, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I first went to, back 10 years ago, I was an over-the-road truck driver. First time I went to Memphis, near a hotel, and when I got out of my truck and I walked around, it made me sick. I just dropped to my knees and I started crying. Literally started crying, because I could not believe how time stood still.
Yes.
The Martin Luther King was killed.
Yes, that's exactly what struck me. It was a silence came over me. It was like a silence was in the air. There weren't many people there to begin with, but there was an eerie silence yesterday afternoon as I stood in front of room number. I'd say I don't have the room number. It's right here. I can't read it. In the Lorraine Motel. There's a wreath over the balcony. But they left the Cadillac convertible there, the hardtop, and the Dodge that was under that roof, under that overhang. Still sitting there. I couldn't believe my eyes. And there was something about it, that a memorial like this sits there, because it was a seminal moment of change in American history. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And actually, I tried to call as many family and friends and tell them that, you know, it was incredible to me that almost 50 years later, that it was still in the same condition that it was, you know, the whole, like that metropolitan area. It, like I say, time, it just amazed me that time just stood still, and I could not believe it.
Yes, I think that preserving it with the cars, particularly underneath the window, and then I looked across the street, I said, wait a minute, how did Martin Luther King Jr., who, I don't even remember, who shot him, and was a grassy knoll across the street, wasn't it? Very eerily like JFK Jr., wasn't it also a grassy knoll? No, it was a grassy knoll here for sure, but in the JFK Jr., there's the story of the grassy knoll, and then the story of the library and the book depository. I don't want to get into those conspiracy theories, but Gray, that changed America forever. But as a result of that execution of Martin Luther King Jr., the country changed. Millions of white people were guilty over it, and as a result, some very bad people have cashed in on his legacy. That's what I'm trying to say in a nutshell. You know, some really bad people have cashed in on this, on the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., and the white guilt to this day prevents us from standing up to the despots who are ruining this country. And I thank you for that call. There's nothing else I can say about it. When I come back, I think we're going to talk about the situation in Iraq, which is a nightmare. I'm going to ask you this. You want to hear this one? Who do you blame for the resurgence of war in Iraq? And should we be sending more troops and airstrikes to Iraq? You know my feeling on that, don't you? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, 27 minutes after the hour. We're witnessing now something that's about to occur in American history that occurred before. Many of you will remember the image of the last helicopter from the roof of the American Embassy in Saigon after we didn't really lose the war. In fact, the American troops were so great, they won the war. But they were undermined by the communist left and the media into making the American people think that they were killers, they were murderers, and that they lost the war. For whatever the reason, the Americans had to leave. We had to leave Vietnam. And there's that great picture, that iconic photo, as iconic as the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, which is of the last helicopter leaving the roof of the embassy in Saigon with Vietnamese hanging on from the bottom of it because they knew if they stayed there, the communists would gut them and kill them and torture them, which is what the communists did. Well, right now, the Islamists are closing in on Baghdad. The Iraqi army has just collapsed. The army is in disrepair. The Iraqi army is gone. They've been captured by the Islamists who are cutting off their heads as they capture them. They're capturing U.S. military equipment. Germany has asked their citizens to leave Iraq immediately. Americans are being evacuated. The terrorists have turned into a full-blown army. They're imposing Sharia law. Meanwhile, our great commander-in-chief, who told us that the trade of the five terrorists for one deserter poses no threat to us, told us that leaving Iraq was his greatest achievement.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And I am very optimistic about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. You're going to see 90,000 American troops come marching home by the end of the summer. You're going to see a stable government in Iraq that is actually moving toward a representative government. I've been there 17 times now. I go about every 3 months. I know every one of the major players and all the segments of that society.
This is one of the craziest men in American history. And another time, he'd be in a mental hospital. This is the Vice President of the United States who was just quoted as saying, when asked about the flood, the tsunami of illegal aliens coming into this country by him and Obama, saying that we need streams of them and more of them, as many as possible. Biden says we need a constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants to this country through a National Association of Manufacturers. This is the same lunatic, Biden, who I just played for you, said in 2010 that Iraq will be Obama's greatest achievement. As I speak to you, a disaster of biblical proportions is occurring in Iraq, where the army of Iraq that was propped up and trained at the cost of so many thousands of American lives, maimed, lost $1 trillion or more, the army is gone, disintegrated by the Islamists who took over the entire region that the U.S. once controlled because of the vermin on the left screaming about our troops. We pulled out. They invaded. They've owned it. They're now taking over the rest of the country. They've seized American military equipment. Biden, meanwhile, again, is saying Iraq was one of Obama's great achievements. Right now, Iraq is in turmoil. The army collapsed. Thousands of young soldiers are marching, captured by these headcutters. They are imposing Sharia law wherever they go. They are cutting off the heads of soldiers as they capture them. Did you hear what I just said? They killed 15 Iraq Special Forces men by beheading them, tying their hands behind their back, making them bend over and cutting their heads off with a sword. How in the world could you not see the face of evil? How could you not understand how right Bush was way back when he called it an axis of evil? How could you not understand that there's pure evil on the planet and that we were a beacon of light and liberty? And we're no longer a beacon of light nor liberty in this world because of the individuals who have seized the moment, seized power for their own personal madness, their own personal gain. Not only is Iraq collapsing like Libya collapsed, Syria is collapsing, Egypt almost collapsed. I can't do the litany every time I open my mouth in the show. I cannot go down and play the scales of the piano. Is it any wonder that I eat too much, drink too much? I mean, is it any wonder that once in a while a man wants to turn away from it all? It's like looking into the eyes of hell. Every day now when I wake up, I the madness of the world under this team of crazy, power-mad lunatics. They are either the most incompetent or the most demonic group I've ever seen in the history of this country, or both, because there's no stopping them. There's no determining what will be destroyed tomorrow, and there's no talk about it. None. None. Oh, yeah, you got it here on the Savage Nation, a few good radio shows, a few websites. That's it. That's it. The rest, you don't know what's going on. Then you go travel a country. Most people don't care. They don't care. I'm sorry. And can you blame them? Can you blame them if you drive around America and look at the average sheeple walking around? You can't get mad at your fellow man. What can they do about it? They're powerless. They understand that they're nothing. Nothing. Have no power. When you have power, people so drunk on their power in Washington that they can and will do anything to increase their power, including working with foreign enemies to advance their war chest, their power, what can the average man do but walk around and try to, you know, as they say, tend your own garden? I learned that 30 years ago when things, I couldn't control things outside of my life. I read, tend your own garden. In other words, make your own garden a Garden of Eden. That's all you can do at a certain point. If you can't change the course of human history, what can you do? Now you say, well, we in radio are supposed to do nothing. I never pretended to be a revolutionary. I was not one of those who went with a bullhorn outside of a city, started screaming, bring it all down, girl. I never did it. I'm a commentator. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm a commentator. I'm not an activist. I'm a commentator. I'm not a politician. I am Michael Savage, just an American. And this is what I see. This is what I see. And what I see is what I say. But I will say to you this. There are certain things that occur in a nation's history from which you can never return. Certain events change the course of human history. And as I began this show almost 2 hours ago, I told you about our plane having to land in Memphis on the way back to San Francisco, and I had 4 hours to spend, and luckily one in our party said, let's rent a car, and we did, and we went, and we saw Graceland, which was nothing more than, you know, Disneyland, whatever, and then we saw the most important reason for me fatefully landing down there, and that was the Martin Luther King Jr., the Lorraine Motel. I mean, it was awesome. I got to tell you, as someone who was alive when he was alive and heard him speak outside the UN, and he moved me as a young kid, as a young teacher. And as a young teacher, I was quite liberal, as obviously most young people really are liberal in this country. And then you grow up and you become, you know, more intelligent about your politics, and you realize liberalism is for children, and you abandon it. You grow out of it. You realize that it's childish to think that way. Now, you can make 1,000 jokes about it, but the point is that despite all of his flaws, Martin Luther King Jr. was certifiably an inspired man, if not a great man. And that I've had a dream speech, or I've been on the mountaintop, if it doesn't, it stirs me. And I wasn't born yesterday. I listened to that speech, and I get moved by it to this day. Why? Well, one, because he's a great orator who had a voice that went through you. That's number one. That's something you cannot create. It's either in you or it isn't in you. And unfortunately for us, Barack Obama has a voice that's very, very compelling. You may not want to hear it, but he does. Do you remember the crowds that surged around him back in 07 and 08? Do you remember the huge crowds in Germany of guilty white liberals literally throwing themselves on the floor because they thought the Messiah had arrived? Why do you think that millions of people, including white people, were throwing themselves at Barack Obama? It's because they remembered Martin Luther King Jr. And they thought that Barack Obama was a reincarnation of Martin Luther King Jr. And they thought that we'd have civility. They thought that we would have unity. They thought that we would have people brought together. They thought that we'd have a government cleaned up. We thought that we would have an end of the excess. We thought that we would have decency in the government. Instead, we got the exact opposite. So he was, in essence, a false prophet. And now we're facing the fact that many Americans have awakened to him and what he really is. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. He is not yet through. Now, the same time we recognize what he did to us with the trade of Bergdorf for 5 known generals of the Taliban army, he opens up the border to illegal alien children from Honduras and Guatemala. And you can no longer argue they're being brought into work to take the jobs Americans wouldn't take. And then he asks for $2 billion last night to give them food and shelter. And who do you think is going to get hurt the most? I said this now for an hour and a half. It's one of my most important shows of a long time. Because although I am known as a champion for America's borders, language, and culture, people would assume I have a very narrow band of listeners, only on the right side of things or this and that. That's irrelevant. I am going to tell you that those who get shafted the most by Holder and Obama are not the middle-class white people, and certainly not his rich friends with whom he golfs and from whom he gets his money. No, it's the poor African-Americans in this country who are going to suffer the most from the tsunami of illegal aliens that he's ushering into this country. Who's going to pay for them? Who's going to educate them, medicate them, clothe them, hire them lawyers? Barack Obama, Eric Holder. How this goes on without a word of opposition from the stooges on the conservative side, I mean on the Republican side, is obvious to me. I know why. Because they want what they think is labor, cheap labor. But three-year-old girls don't work in factories, do they? Eight-year-old boys work in factories? I don't know. Are they going to change the child labor laws now and take all the children from Honduras and put them into a garment center somewhere? I hope not. But, I mean, what do you mean they all come here to work? Why are you bringing them in? Why would you attack your own people by doing this? At the same time, you have doofus Biden saying that we need a constant, unrelenting stream of illegals. He calls them something else. Vice President Joseph R. Biden told the National Association of Manufacturers crowd this week that we needed a constant, unrelenting stream of new immigrants, not dribbling, but significant flows to bolster the national economy. We need it badly, he said, from a purely economic point of view. Now, how is that possible, since they're bringing in children? How is that possible? So this is the same Biden who is so stupid that he says that's going to help the economy. This is the same Biden who said in 2010 that once our troops left Iraq, it would be Obama's greatest achievement. What has to happen until you understand that you elected the complete opposite of what you thought you were voting? When do you have to wake up? What has to happen? I appeal to those of you who don't like my politics. What has to happen in this country for you to wake up and say, wait a minute, either Obama and Holder and the five women of the apocalypse around him are the most incompetent or the most something else in history, or something doesn't explain any of this? Do they know what they're doing? Are they dumb? Are they amateurs and are way over their head? Are they just doing it as they go along? Are they just shining it on? They were thrown into office by bigger powers than themselves, and now they're in power for so many years, they're just faking it, they're winging it, and the plane is crashing, and nobody will say the plane is crashing. Or are they doing this on purpose? It doesn't almost matter to me. What matters, it doesn't matter why the plane is crashing. The plane is going down. The plane is going down, and we need a new pilot and co-pilot to pull us out of this nosedive. Anybody's got to take it. It's like a crazed, drunk pilot driving a plane right into the earth, and you can't get him away from the controls. His knuckles are white. His knuckles are white as he's holding on to the steering wheel of the plane. You have to pry his fingers off the wheel and get him out of the pilot's compartment before the plane hits the ground. I mean, come on, it's a childish metaphor, I get it. But it's a pretty good one. If I were a cartoonist, it would be a good cartoon. So you say, well, who are we going to put in there? I would say anybody. Anybody but Obama and Holder. Anybody. Anybody. We got to let anybody try. Anybody. Of course, I'd like somebody in there that I trust, but I'd say anybody, certainly like a conservative in there, but that's not necessary. When you have such incompetence as we currently have, I'd say anybody is good. Biden says the U.S. needs a constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants. You hear this? And now they ask for $2 billion last night. $2 billion. Children crossing the border without parents this year. Who's bringing them in? Why children? Why would they bring in children? Let's say we need labor, which we don't need, but let's say we did need labor. Why would they bring in children if it was about labor? So it's not about labor. It's about something else. Or are they so cynical that they're just bringing in the future wave in these children of low-wage workers? Is that how Is that how demonic they are? You mean they're bringing in 5-year-old girls so when they're 17 or 18, they can put them to work in a hotel? What are they bringing them in for? I don't understand how you could not ask this question. Well, look, this show is about politics. It's about news, views, and reviews. And I've given you news, views, and reviews, and I'll be right back to continue doing so. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
That's it. Well, we were all affected by it, especially those of us who are over a certain age. I mean, I was alive when King spoke. I saw him speak outside the UN and UN Plaza. I think it was in the 60s. I don't remember the year. I was a young school teacher. It moved me. His assassination changed the course of UN events, not only in this country, but around the world. But look at the demagogues who have cashed in on his legacy. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and now, of course, the current administration. Can you honestly say that the administration cares most about the African-American people in this country? Can you really say that they've benefited the African-American community or people in this country? How can you argue that when he's bringing in millions upon millions of illegal aliens, and in this case, children now who are not even working, complete and total wards of the state? They have no capacity for work. And they have to be clothed and fed and medicated, educated, whatever. Who's going to pay for it? Why, you are already. Obama demanded $2 billion last night, and the stooge on the conservatives or the Republican side checked, rubber-stamped it. So, I rest my case today. I mean, I can only go so far. This is Clarence Darrow for the defense, in essence. I presented my case today. That's what I've done. Now I can ask you, who do you blame for the resurgence of war in Iraq? You're going to blame George Bush? How can you blame Bush? Try to use reason instead of rhetoric. Obama said he would end the war in Iraq. Obama said he would take the troops out of Iraq. Joseph Biden said this would be Obama's greatest legacy, that when the troops left Iraq, there'd be a stable government, then they'd live in peace. Well, the opposite is true. There is no government. The military collapsed today. As I speak, the military is in disarray. Tens of thousands of Iraqi military have been captured by the head-cutting, Sharia-inducing Islamists. What has to happen until you recognize that the man is destroying the world, not just this country? What has to happen? This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening to One Man's Opinion. I'll be right back on some of the stations across the country. Be here or be nowhere.
Because I've been to the mountaintop.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
These are not a threat to the United States. They are a threat to the safety and security of Afghanistan. It's up to those two countries to make the decision once and for all that these are threats to them. So I think we may be kind of, you know, missing the bigger picture here. We want to get an American home. Whether they fell off the ship because they were drunk or they were pushed or they jumped, we try to rescue everybody.
So there's Hillary Clinton doubling down, saying the released terrorists from Guantanamo are not a threat to the United States. At the same time, and it's not directly related, but it is related, the Obama administration is witnessing the collapse of Iraq, the White House and their minions of fools caught off guard as Muslim militants have captured northern Iraq and are racing towards the capital. As Sunni fighters with the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, you're going to see the acronym ISIS in the newspapers tomorrow, ISIS. You could trade that for TERROSIST, because ISIS is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They are crazy, crazy Sharia-inducing, head-cutting monsters. They're racing toward Baghdad. Germany's told their citizens to leave. We're running with our tails between our legs. And not one of the national security morons, certainly not the moron in charge of the Defense Department, that doofus, Hagel the Bagel, not one of them saw this coming. And we're supposed to trust them on releasing five terrorists? Can you believe what I'm saying to you? Can you believe what I'm saying to you? That these idiots who are running this country believed, B-E-L-I-E-V-E-D, believed that Iraq would be a peaceful nation once we left. And the $14 billion that we gave the Iraqis to bolster their Iraqi security forces will be enough to contain the ISIS extremists. Could you believe Chuck Hagel believed this? Can you believe that our national security team believed this? Can you believe that we have such incompetence at the highest level? These are the same people flooding America with illegal alien children who we're being told are coming here to work. I don't think we have child labor forces in America. The three-year-old girls from Honduras are not going to work in a sweatshop, are they? Why are they bringing in all of these illegal alien children? Why? They're not workers. What are they bringing them for? Who are they trying to hurt with these children? Why are they bringing them in? Now we have Iran sending forces to help fight al-Qaeda in Iraq. Could you believe this turn of events? Iran now is now suddenly going to become our ally fighting the ISIS forces in Iraq. Can it get any more complicated for the average American? Is it any wonder they go out and have ribs and beer? Is it any wonder people are stoned on marijuana, which they call medical marijuana now, which is just really an excuse for getting high? Is it any wonder the country is awash in decadence and stupidity and the lowest forms of entertainment known to the human condition? Is it any wonder that this country has melted down like fat in an abattoir? No, there's no wonder to any of it, my friends. We get the kind of leadership that we deserve. Only the problem is there's sometimes you can't come back from it. You really believe the U.S. was caught off guard in Iraq? Are you serious? The Obama administration had been warned many times by senior military officers while they still existed that a total American withdrawal from Iraq would leave a power vacuum that would be filled. And now it's happening. They weren't caught off guard. No, siree bod. No, the thing is the Obamas didn't listen to the military advisors. They considered them morons. The hostile communists in the Obama inner circle. The girls from Harvard. The fanatic feminasties from the worst universities in America who now rule the military didn't listen to the senior military men. No, they knew more than the senior military men. After all, they teach at Harvard. They know everything, don't they? If they can bulldoze an entire campus with their threats of lawsuits, why they can bulldoze terrorists, can't they? So Obama follows the advice of these psychopaths from the universities, and they're now caught with their pants down. Did you hear this? 4,489 United States servicemen and women died for nothing. Trillions of dollars of our treasury went up in smoke. All because this community organizer took all of our forces out of Iraq and let this vacuum be filled by the worst people on the planet. This is going on right in front of your eyes. This is in real time. Al-Qaeda forces moving towards Baghdad. Do you remember the last images out of Saigon? Even if you weren't alive at the time, certainly you saw the iconic pictures of the last helicopter leaving the roof of the embassy in Saigon with South Vietnamese hanging from the bottom of the helicopter, dying to get out of there because they knew they'd be butchered by the communists as their relatives were butchered by the communists. Well, here we are. Our military didn't lose this war. Obama lost this war in Iraq. See, first Obama fired any military commander that would oppose anything he wanted to do. They were cashiered out of the military. They were driven out. Then he replaced them with feminasties, who then ginned up a fake scandal about sexual harassment. And they got rid of the next wave of commanders who could do the real things that we need done. And now we have a military that's in disarray. Just as the country's in disarray, the military is in disarray. What has to happen next? What has to happen next, I ask you? But that is beyond me. I can't change anything. All I can do is observe it, and how much can we observe? So in the last hour, I talked about the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and how it had been ripped off by Barack Obama and Eric Holder. I don't believe, you know, I actually believe, let's say Martin Luther King Jr. were alive and he lived. Well, it's too late now. I wouldn't be, but if he had become president, we would never have the situation we have today. He was a unifier. He would have brought the races together. Certainly would have helped his own people, but he would have brought the races together. You never would have heard him do what Obama's been doing to this country. King Jr. would never have flooded America with illegal aliens because they know that his own people would have been hurt by that. So how do you justify this? How do you justify it? How? Well, okay, I mean, I asked the question. I don't have an answer for people. Some people are blindly committed to their own race. No matter what their racial cohorts do, they're going to support them. I saw it in my own upbringing. I saw it in New York. No matter how corrupt, no matter how evil, no matter how stupid, if they were a member of the same race that I grew up with, oh, they're okay. You can't say anything. Well, I ran from that. 9,000 miles wasn't far enough. But, you know, you can only run so far, but you can't hide from that mentality. It goes on to this day in any race. There's racial politics. There's tribal politics. And unfortunately for us, we have a very, very thin man running the country. Thin in character, thin in spirit, thin in intellect. A very, very thin man indeed. Now, look, I've spoken, and the world is in chaos right now. It's going up in smoke. Everything this administration has touched is going up in smoke. But now the prime minister of Iraq is asking us for airstrikes. Can you believe this? Airstrikes. We're learning just now that the headcutters have captured our military equipment. We're learning that all of the men who died in Iraq and the trillions of dollars that were spent were for nothing. We're learning that a medieval Sharia law is being imposed across the land. We learn that they're cutting off the heads of Iraqi special forces by tying their hands behind their back and decapitating them. Maybe Obama can do a deal with them, too. After all, there's no low to which he and Hillary would not go. Haven't we heard over the last few days in these hearings that they're willing to negotiate with Iran to get a nuclear weapon? They're willing to negotiate with terrorists to release them from Guantanamo on the idea and assumption that they're going to be nice after they're released. Maybe they could negotiate with the Sharia-inducing, head-cutting ISIS forces that are now occupying Iraq. Maybe Obama believes if he's nice to them, they'll be nice to us. How is it that Obama is so tough with his political opponents in America and such a wimp with all of our real opponents around the world? Why does he treat our friends like enemies and our enemies like friends? Does anyone have an answer to that question? Well, anyway, this is the Savage Nation. I am a man who speaks about our borders, language, and culture, and have done so for 20 years. And with your luck and my luck and with God's will, I shall do so for another long period of time. I'm going to take a quick break right now, and I invite your calls at 855-407-282 on this and other topics. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
From I have a dream to I have a scheme. Now, why is Obama and Eric Holder, why are they willing to displace the huge population of America's poor African-American population with armies of Central Americans and Mexicans, now children who will not even work? Who do you think will be most hurt economically by this human tsunami being ushered in by this administration? And that's what I've been talking about for well over 2 hours today on the show. It doesn't matter what your politics are. It's a logical question for which there are real answers, and all of them are bad. See, there's no good intention in what they're doing. Even Hillary Clinton was asked, why do we need immigrants when there are so many Americans out of work? And she says, well, that's a good question, boys and girls. But she didn't answer it. Of course it's a good question. Why are they bringing in children? Why are they bringing in children with diseases, no less? Is that a word I'm not allowed to mention? What, Mr. Gutierrez will get mad at me? Children with diseases that had been eradicated in this country because we have superb medical care and great hygiene are now being reintroduced into this country by these children who are infected with some diseases that we have not seen in this country for decades. And do you think that these diseases will not spread to you and your children? Why, because you're a good liberal? What, do you think you have a special mark on your soul and the disease germs will distinguish between you and an evil conservative, and that the pathogens will bypass your doorpost because you're such a good liberal? Your children will be spared by these pathogens because you are such a good liberal? No, I don't think so. You see, pathogens do not recognize politics. They're very, very equal opportunity infectious agents. And they're going to infect you and your children just as well as they'll affect me and my children, which is why we used to have quarantine in this country, which is why we used to inspect immigrants before they were allowed into our great nation. And then, of course, the borders were all broken by Bill Clinton. That's right. It started under the Clintons. They had an INS chief, Doris Meisner. I remember to this day. I don't forget political names. Doris Meisner, M-E-I-S-S-N-E-R, if I remember correctly. And old Doris Meisner was the one who broke our borders under Bill Clinton. She's been rewarded. She's still around. Oh, yeah, they never go away. Old liberals never die. No, they just move on to cushy jobs after they leave government. She's still around, rewarded for all of her good works. But, my friends, this is something new. This is on a new scale, and that's what we've been talking about. Where does this end? How does it end? If you will have an African-American president and first an attorney general shafting their own people for reasons only they can understand and maybe you can figure out, what might they do to the rest of the nation for their power madness? I mean, that's the only question I can ask. And also, who do you blame for the resurgence of war in Iraq? George Bush, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, who do you blame? Let's go to the callers. Debbie on WMAL, you've been holding a long time. Thank you for calling the Savage Nation. What's on your plate?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to let you and your listeners know that this flooding of the illegal aliens from Central America, it's not done by haphazard. It's all done by design. This happens to be government-sponsored, government-controlled, and government-coordinated. And I work for the federal government, and I know what I'm talking about.
No, I know it is. Of course they're not coming here because they're running from the cartels. The exact opposite is true. But why are they flooding children into the country? What's their goal?
Well, that I don't really know, except maybe to take over certain areas and displace the current populations that live there.
So you believe that it's a war by demographics?
Yes, I do. And I believe that I know these people, these unaccompanied children, and many of them, like you've stated, they're not unaccompanied and they're not children. They're being sent through locations throughout facilities, we call them, throughout America, where we are looking to inoculate them, feed them, send them to the hospital if they need to go, make sure they all see doctors. We're looking for families who will sponsor these children and actually infiltrate households.
But what is the intent? Why are they bringing in armies of children from Central America who do not speak a word of English?
Well, you know, on that, like I said, I can't give a definitive answer. I don't know what the end outcome of the...
Could the reason be racism? Yeah. Could the goal be racism to dilute certain populations? Are we allowed to ask the question?
Not only dilute, but displace many of the populations that are there, certain races that are there. And in my opinion, it's basically the black race. And I said this to a black woman I work
with. Well, what do you think I've been getting at? When I visited Memphis, I think it was by fate that the plane was forced to land in Memphis yesterday, and I had 5 hours. And by chance, I wound up in front of the Lorraine Motel. I never intended to go there. And I was as moved by that visit to that quiet motel as I was in the streets of Manhattan when I heard Martin Luther King Jr. speak in 1967. It was as though his voice still resonated. From I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme. Under Barack Obama.
Savage.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I'm telling you that that was a seminal moment in American history, and unfortunately for us, false prophets have taken Martin Luther King Jr.'s mantle and used it for personal advantage, in my estimation. And what's strikingly obvious to me is that the human flood that's being brought in into this country by Obama and Holder will affect the poor African Americans in this country far, far, far more so than white people. I don't understand why there's no outcry. You listen to that speech. It was his last speech. And you have to believe that the man had seen what was coming. He was executed or assassinated. And you have to believe that there are people on the earth as flawed as he was, as flawed as I am, as flawed as you are, because we are not God. None of us are God. Maybe Obama thinks he's God, but I don't. Most normal people understand that they're human beings with limitations. And he had many flaws. We heard all of the slanders about him and all the truths, the plagiarism, the womanizing, the this and that. Doesn't mean he couldn't have been inspired. Doesn't mean he couldn't have had a prophetic streak within him. And what he was saying was quite different than what you're hearing today from Holder and Obama, isn't it? You're not hearing the same things you heard from Martin Luther King Jr. about people of all races getting along and living together. You're hearing about the supremacy of a certain race over others. You're hearing about the fact that you have poverty in this country that's overwhelming in certain communities, and yet he's bringing in millions of impoverished people from Central and South of Central America, Mexico. They're not all working here. You don't have 2 or 3 year olds working, do you? How could you stupid liberals, and I call you stupid liberals, how could you idiots take the bait like guppies in a tank to believe that he wants to bring in illegal aliens because they'll do the jobs no American will do when you see with your own eyes that many or most of this flood, this tsunami that he's bringing in now, illegally, by the way, are not workers. They're children, little girls and little boys, 3 years old to 8 years old. Mixed in with them are hardcore gang members, which is a second story that I don't want to get into. Who is going to take care of these children, many of whom are infected with diseases that were once eradicated in this country? Who will pay for their medical care, their housing? Who will educate them with all of the expensive English as a second language? Who's going to pay for it? Well, the answer is quite clear. You will. You, the liberal moron, and I, the conservative genius, will pay for it. But I will tell you who's going to be hurt the most. The poor. And so that woman in Memphis that I told you about, who sat outside the Lorraine Motel all these years with her flyer, had a flyer that said $27 million to renovate the Civil Rights Museum. Meanwhile, with nearly 1 in 5 residents stuck below the poverty line, Metropolitan Memphis ranks as by far the most impoverished large metro area in the nation, close quote. And she said that money shouldn't be going to renovate a museum. She said it should be going to the poor to help them. Now, if you have a finite resource base, finite amount of resources, how can you bring in millions of poor people and not hurt the millions of poor that already exist here? How? So you have to answer your own question and come to the conclusion that he's not bringing them in to help anyone here, that Obama's bringing them in for other reasons. They're not workers. He's not bringing in workers. That doofus, Biden, gives a speech before the National Association of Manufacturers and says that we need more and more and more an influx of illegal alien, whatever he calls them, immigrants. More and more and more, he says we need. More and more and more is what he says we need. What, he's getting child labor? I got to tell you something. Look, I didn't plan on landing in Memphis, and I did. We had to land. I didn't plan on going to the Elvis Museum. That, by the way, that's the other side of the coin. That's the other side of the coin. The poor white that goes to the Elvis Museum, the sheeple, the white who doesn't know where he is in the world, walking around buying a hot dog, a, a trinket. I couldn't believe it. I didn't. I thought I was on a drug. I thought someone slipped me something in the van. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I never saw anything like it in my life. It was just something astonishing. You like the Elvis thing, but look in the same city. Look in the same city. You have an icon of a certain segment of the white population, Elvis Presley, and you have an icon of the civil rights movement, and you can't just say of the black population because there are many others who were affected by Martin Luther King Jr. I think you'd be a fool not to say we were all not affected by Martin Luther King Jr. You'd be an ignoramus not to understand that. In the same city, I said, there's something here for me. I haven't yet digested it because it was only yesterday. It was only yesterday in my life. It takes me sometimes days, months, weeks to absorb why fate or God puts me in certain situations or places. You know, as William Blake wrote, you must live your life forward, but you can only understand it backward, which is exactly what I'm trying to say to you. I mean, you have to live it forward. You have to try to sort out what's going on. But truthfully, you don't really understand what's going on until you get further away from it. You have to live your life forward, but you can only understand it backward. Well, I'm not far enough from yesterday to understand what it means today. But all I can tell you is I was extremely moved emotionally I was moved by that Lorraine Motel. I can't even explain why. I mean, maybe it was a part of my life that died when he was shot. I don't know. Certainly true. Certainly America's never recovered from his execution. It's never recovered from the execution of John F. Kennedy Jr., never recovered from the execution of RFK Jr., and it's never going to recover from the gangsters that have taken over this country. Never. It can never recover from this gang. It can't recover. And why do I say that? Because throughout time, there's always been evil men, power-mad people who have been constrained by the U.S. Constitution in the case of this nation, and by a vigorous opposition party, and by a vigorous press, the Fourth Estate. But as I told you before, the Fourth Estate long ago became the fifth column for communism in this country. Write it down because it's probably the best thing I've ever said. The Fourth Estate became the fifth column for communism / socialism in this country a long time ago, which is why all we have are clowns, stone clowns on television, passing for journalists now. So all I can do is sit here from the outside and not throw stones at the world, but try to make sense of the world for the millions of you who can't. It's the truth. It's the truth. You say, well, Mike, why can't you do anything about it? Why can't you help us pull us out of this part? Because I'm not Moses. I can't part the Red Sea. We're all going to drown from this Red Sea that is engulfing us in this nation because it's being done on purpose. And I don't have the way to part the Red Sea. That's got to be done by God. What's on my mind is how a nation dies and how a nation dies in front of your own eyes. You can watch an animal die when it's, let's say, run over. You can see it dying in the street. You can watch a relative, an older relative, die from a disease that is incurable. It's a heartbreaking thing to watch. You can watch yourself deteriorate and die. It's no different when you're watching a nation die. And when you watch a guy like Obama literally putting the knife into the heart of the country on a daily basis, you have to ask yourself, are you the only one who's crazy? I mean, are you the only crazy one who sees an administration that is working around the clock to stab the country repeatedly, over and over and over again, as fast as it can? So, you know, you can ask the question and not get an answer, because there is no answer, because if there's no opposition party, there's no press, then there's no point in screaming about it. When I see John Boehner get up there this morning, as I did on television, to give a speech about Iraq and this and that, I didn't know what I was looking at. I thought he was resigning. I didn't have the sound on. I had a bad night's sleep because of the trip, and I'm off base with the jet lag. I turned the TV on to get ready for the show, and there I see him speaking. For a minute, I didn't know who it was. I said, wait a minute, who is that, Boehner? I didn't know what he was saying. I thought it was a resignation speech. But no, he was standing up there, allegedly, to give some kind of speech about Obama's failures and this and that and that. And I didn't, not one word made sense to me. And all I could think of was how Obama and Holder are laughing at him. They say, this guy's a clown. Huh? I mean, if I was sitting, I'd be throwing like golf balls into a fishbowl while watching him. Just to hear the sound of the golf ball roll around inside the fishbowl, because that's exactly what Boehner sounded like to me. He sounded like golf balls rolling around inside an empty fishbowl. He said nothing. Now, you know what happened the other day with Cantor. I was on the air Tuesday in Florida. It hit right after I was off the air. It was a tsunami. But do you think that's going to change Boehner and the establishment girls in the Republican Party? Do you think that that sorority of girls is going to change? Do you think that that even entered their mind, that the sorority called the Republican Party is going to alter their partying? I don't. I see no sign that the sorority leader, Mr. Boehner, is going to change anything. No, they don't even accept what happened. What's hysterical about it all, it was all about immigration. And yet, the psychopaths in the media immediately made it everything but immigration. Every excuse under the sun except the fact that America does not want to be overrun by immigrants was used. They even came to the laughable conclusion that Cantor was thrown out because of anti-Semitism. Didn't take them too long to arrive at that. That was Wolf Blitzer's greatest moment. I put that in a museum of media insanity. If I did my own Elvis Museum, it would be a museum of media insanity. And in the front, there'd be a huge clown figure of Wolf Blitzer. And the screaming entrance line would be, Cantor was fired because of anti-Semitism. Cantor was fired because of Jew-hating. Cantor was fired because of white supremacy. Step right up, $72, coming into the media museum. I mean, it like belies your imagination that they could reach so far to justify what happened without accepting that what happened was the will of the people happened. They're so shocked that the will of the people spoke that they couldn't even accept it was the will of the people that spoke. So these are all the thoughts. And I got to tell you, look, it's not the first time I've been in the South. I was in the South many years ago in the 1960s when I was working for a book publishing company in New York City. This is an interesting story unto itself. You know, I'm known for telling my stories as part of my political viewpoints, which is okay. And people don't understand that I have many stories, and they're not made up. They're real. They're from Life 101. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As we come to the end of hour number three, we come to the end of America as we know it. It's the taking of America, 1, 2, 3, by, what can I say to you? How can anyone listening to this show not understand we're run by criminals and insane people? We have a flood of illegal aliens, a tsunami of children, women, gangbangers being shipped all over the country, many of them with infections, diseases that were wiped out in this country. One of the principal elements of a nation is to secure its own borders, language, and culture. We have a president who is intent on destroying our border with Mexico, our language, and our culture. He's violating his constitutional duty. Why is he doing it? There has to be a reason for it. Biden, the insane vice president, says we need a constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants. Now, I want you to think about this. This is an impeachable statement. Biden says the U.S. needs a constant, unrelenting stream of immigrants. We need more, not less. Now, who did he say that to? He said it to none other than the National Association of Manufacturers. He said we need a constant, unrelenting stream of new immigrants, not dribbling, but significant flows to bolster the national economy. So what is he going to do now, bring back child labor? In other words, he's going to have the three-year-old girls from El Salvador and Honduras work in factories? Of course not. So what is this about? This is not about immigration reform. This is about wiping out America as you know it. This is about busting the bank finally. This is about changing the demographics forever. This is about changing the nature of America forever. And let me ask you something. Who's going to be hurt by this more? You want me to be very blunt? Who's going to be hurt by this flood, this tsunami of illegal immigrants from Central America and Mexico more? White people or African Americans? You've got a huge percentage of African Americans living in poverty in this country. A huge percentage. I don't know the number. Stuck in poverty. Stuck below the poverty line. And where's the money going to go now? To people from Honduras who are suffering from diseases? Why are they doing this to us? Why would they shaft the African-American community in particular? Why? Is this your idea of America's first black president shafting his own people? I don't know other words to use. I don't have any other words to use. This is not about economic reform. They're not going to use 2- and 3-year-old girls to work in factories. There's another more sinister reason that this corrupt administration is doing this to us, and it has nothing to do with economics nor humanitarianism. It has everything to do with some other agenda. The Border Patrol agents are appealing to the federal government to stop. They don't know what to do. They're putting them in military bases all over the country. Meanwhile, Iraq has gone up in flames again. Your man, your genius, your commander-in-chief, the commander-in-chief of the empty faces on television, the commander-in-chief of Bill Maher, the commander-in-chief of Colbert, the commander-in-chief of that other clown who reads lines written for him by others, all these clowns who mock everybody. The world is burning, and these schmucks are telling jokes. Iraq is out of control. Terrorists are a full-blown army coming in with machine-gun-laden new trucks. Medieval Sharia law imposed in Iraq. Thousands of Iraqis are taking up arms to protect themselves. The Prime Minister, another prize, is asking the USA to lend him our Air Force. Tell me what's going to happen next. Biden, that lying, two-faced SOB, says Iraq was one of Obama's greatest achievements. Biden, who said we need to be flooded with immigrants, said Iraq is one of Obama's greatest achievements. The Islamists are closing in on Baghdad. Ladies and gentlemen, we just saw a tsunami with Cantor getting thrown out on his butt. That's only the beginning. We have one last chance. If we can still vote come November, we have one chance to fire every Democrat. Because as bad as the Republicans are, they're all we've got to work with. The Democrats have long ago walked over to the other side. This is the Savage Nation. Good night and God bless America.
Savage.
Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about on the only conservative station in the Bay Area. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.